What happens when someone tells you to give away your phone number to strangers, invite sketchy neighbors into your home, and befriend people who make you deeply uncomfortable? Most would call it reckless. Bob Goff calls it following Jesus. This isn't your grandmother's devotional about being nice to people at church potlucks. This is a challenge to love so radically, so extravagantly, that people think you've lost your mind. Because maybe, in the best possible way, you have. The question isn't whether this kind of love is safe, it's whether we're brave enough to try it anyway. We romanticize loving people far away while ignoring those within arm's reach, sponsoring children overseas but not learning our neighbor's name. This selective compassion reveals an uncomfortable truth. Proximity makes love complicated. The Good Samaritan story was scandalous because Jesus made the despised outsider the hero. Real neighbors aren't determined by geography or similarity, but by willingness to cross uncomfortable boundaries. This challenges how we move through the world. Do we do business with people, transactional exchanges where we get what we need and leave, or do we do life with them? Doing business means scanning groceries and moving on. Doing life means noticing the cashier seems exhausted and asking if they're okay. Goff shares a counterintuitive path to joy, helping others find theirs. When we focus on alleviating someone else's suffering, we discover satisfaction that self-focused pursuits never deliver. The challenge remains simple yet difficult. Who around you stays invisible? Love begins with showing up and paying attention to people already in your path. We define people by their worst moments. The friend who betrayed us becomes the betrayer. We reduce complex humans to their failures, forgetting we'd hate being judged by our own worst days. Goff introduces catching people on the bounce, being there when someone falls to help them up, not judge their stumble. When Jesus met Peter, he didn't say, "This is Simon, who will deny me three times." He called him the Rock, naming who Peter was becoming, not who he was in his weakest moment. This requires choosing empathy over shame. Researcher Brené Brown describes these as opposite ends of a dial. When vulnerability is high, empathy creates connection, while shame creates isolation. Boundaries remain essential, but distinguish between the person and their actions. Speak life into people. Tell them their value, strengths, the good you see. Practice good gossip by speaking positively about others when they're absent. When we respond to failure with grace rather than judgment, we demonstrate God's heart, love that isn't earned but freely given. Our culture demands perfection before impact. Jesus reversed this. Tax collectors and prostitutes would enter God's kingdom ahead of religious leaders, not because their behavior was exemplary, but because their brokenness made them receptive to grace. This liberates us from retreating after mistakes. Many hide in safe routines where they can't fail again. They stop taking risks, being vulnerable, or growing. But failures aren't final verdicts. They're reminders of our need for God and others. Neither failures nor successes define us. Both are experiences we have, not identities we carry. Understanding this frees us to try again, risk again, love again, and to move toward those who have failed rather than away from them. This transforms how we witness. Instead of presenting ourselves as perfect examples, we become authentic companions, saying, "Look at how God works through broken people like us." This authenticity proves far more compelling than polished performance. We need communities where we can be honest about struggles without fear of rejection. When we admit our need and stop pretending to be self-sufficient, we create space for God to work through us. Your life is like a bucket. Whatever fills it shapes who you become. We're formed by what we consistently expose ourselves to and practice. Jesus demonstrated this by eating with the wrong kinds of people. When questioned, he explained, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick." He deliberately moved toward those who were different, difficult, even dangerous by cultural standards, filling his bucket with diverse relationships that expanded his impact. Scripture promises we can be new creations, but transformation requires action, not passive agreement. faith grows through lived experience, especially experiences pushing beyond comfort zones. When we fill our buckets with courageous acts of love, we become more loving. The challenge is twofold: add positive influences and remove negative ones. This might mean consuming less angry social media or spending less time with chronically negative people. Simultaneously, intentionally add scripture, uplifting relationships, and service opportunities. Small daily choices about what we allow into our minds ultimately shape who we become. In our hyper-scheduled culture, availability is a counter-cultural act of love. Goff offers a radical proposition. People don't follow vision, they follow availability. The most profound influence happens through consistent presence, not grand strategies. Consider Jesus's practice. The Gospels repeatedly show him being interrupted. A woman touching his cloak, children wanting attention, blind men calling from roadsides. Rather than viewing these as distractions, Jesus treated each encounter as central to his mission. His availability created opportunities for transformation no sermon could accomplish. Practicing availability might look like answering phone calls instead of letting them go to voicemail, keeping your office door open, eating lunch in common areas, or making eye contact with people asking for money. These small acts communicate value more powerfully than words. This challenges our efficiency-obsessed mindset. Being available often feels inefficient. It involves waiting, listening, responding to unanticipated needs. Yet what appears inefficient short-term often proves most impactful long-term. Availability is about presence, being fully where we are with who we're with, noticing needs without waiting to be asked. Loving everybody always will cost you something. Time, emotional energy, and comfort. It might cost friendships with people who think you've gone too far. According to Goff, it's absolutely worth it. This isn't about becoming a doormat. Boundaries matter. But most of us aren't in danger of loving too recklessly. We're in danger of not loving enough. We've built such careful lives, surrounded ourselves with such similar people, that we've insulated ourselves from the very encounters that could transform us. What if the difficult people in your life aren't obstacles to your spiritual growth, but invitations into it? What if the neighbor whose politics make you cringe, or the family member who hurt you deeply, are precisely the people through whom God wants to stretch your capacity to love? Jesus set an impossible-seeming standard. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. He demonstrated it on the cross, praying for his executioners. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The legacy you leave won't be measured by what you accomplished, but by how you loved. Stop admiring Jesus from a safe distance. Love everybody, always, starting with the person right in front of you.